Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to Amber Scholes, who is going to be a junior in high school. She's known on Instagram as Amber Runs, and she has a great platform where she kind of shares her journey with running and just overall lifestyle and love for the sport. And yeah, she's a great influence on the younger generation, and I thought it would be fun to have her on the podcast. I think we share a lot of similarities in like our growing up as runners. So yeah, especially if you're a younger runner, please enjoy this episode. And yeah, here we go. We are live. All right. Amber, welcome to the podcast. Do you want to give a little rundown about yourself? Like, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, so I'm Amber Scholes, obviously, aka Amber Runs. I am on Instagram and I'm also on YouTube. I have been running pretty much my entire life. Well, actually, as soon as I could walk, my mom put me in a race. Because she's a marathoner and she's always done running. So yeah, but I also did soccer and basketball, but you know, basketball didn't work out too well. I like went the wrong way on the court, and yeah, running was definitely my forte. So I always stuck to that. And I started running competitively when I was around 8 or 9. And ever since then, I've really just focused a lot on running because it just brings me so much joy and I just love it so, so much. And I started my it was actually random stuff at first, like random food and pictures of like trees and just like really just stupid stuff. And then it eventually turned into my running account. And as it progressed, it just kind of turned more and more into an inspirational account, running, and just kind of like my whole life in general. And then I branched off onto YouTube and started making YouTube videos. And that's so much fun because you can just kind of share like more of your life and do running vlogs and racing vlogs are so much fun. I've only done a few, but they're really fun to do. And my, like I said earlier, my mom is a runner. She's done, I want to say like 40 marathons or so, like 10 or 11 Boston marathons and just Berlin. Like she's done crazy stuff. And my dad is a bodybuilder and yeah.
Wow. So you're still pretty young. You said that your mom put you into races when you were super young. How old were you? Like, what was your first race?
As soon as I could walk, my mom threw a bib on me and made me go.
Like, do you remember how long, what the distance was of the race?
We would do, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Track Shack, but it's, like, a big thing over here, and they do, like, a ton of different races, and they do, like, little kids races, so it'll be, like, 50 meters, 100 meters, you know, and the kids will just, like, run it, or depending on how old they are, but it's so cute to watch, because they're just, like, little tiny people just sprinting. It's so funny.
So yeah, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 meters. We had a kind of like a similar race. We had the Junior Carlsbad, which had different races, but I don't know what like the youngest people were running. I think it was a little bit more than 50 meters, but that's really funny.
Yeah. The Amber sprinting then can probably like sprint 50 meters faster than I can now. Like I am long distance 100%.
Yeah. And when did you first kind of realize that you wanted to pursue running as like your full-time sport, or when did you find the love for the sport?
Honestly, I can't remember a time where I wasn't running, but I think really when it hit me like, oh wow, like I can do something like with running is probably when I was in like 8th grade, middle school state championships. I had literally dropped off so much time off my PR, and it was just kind of like a crazy realization that like I can be in the top, because I always kind of just like put myself down in a way like, oh, like you can't, you're not as good as them. Like you can't be as good as them. And ever since then, I've always been like, no, like you can be as good as them if you work hard enough and if you put in the work. And yeah, like literally before that race, I was bawling my eyes. I was like, Mom, I can't do it. Like they're all faster than me. And I ended up getting second place by 0.01 seconds. And yeah, but it was still, it was a big eye opener because I was just like, wow, like I can be fast.
Yeah, you kind of got the taste of success right there, you could say.
Exactly.
Why were you crying before the race? Because I find that a lot of people, especially when they're younger, tend to do that. That's not something that I ever did. I don't know. I don't think I just got very nervous, but I know a lot of people do struggle with like pre-race anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think was causing you to like have those nerves or to the point of tears before the race?
Yeah, so I literally struggled with pre-race anxiety so bad. Not anymore because I've changed my mindset, but my mindset was really directed like, if I don't do good, like that's going to be so disappointing and it's just going to suck. Like I can't do it. Like I literally just set myself up for failure before the race even started. So now my mindset has really shifted to just like go out there, give it your all, do your best, whatever the outcome is, like that's what's supposed to happen that day. And if it's a bad race, like just learn from it and do better next time. Like I just had to change my mindset a lot. My mindset was definitely just like, yeah, you're going to do bad. Like you might as well just be nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people struggle with that, and it goes far beyond like high school too. Like in college, my old teammate Steven and I on the last podcast were talking about kind of like the mental blocks that you have in running. But what are some ways that you like have overcome that? How have you overcome like just negative thoughts, like whether that be in a race or before, or even like if you have a bad race, getting over it?
Yeah, so I've had quite a few bad races, as we all have. And yeah. I think really just focusing on like this race, like whatever race you're doing, it's not life or death. Like if you do bad, it's really okay. Like there's going to be more races in the future. Like you don't have to be at your best every single race, every single workout, because like the worst races, the worst workouts, that's what's going to make you stronger and make you learn the lessons and actually be like thankful for the good races, be thankful for the good workouts and stuff like that. And I really think just focusing on the bigger picture, not just focusing on that one run, that one race, that one workout, like that has really, really helped me. And just kind of keeping my goals in mind, just like what I want to accomplish throughout the season, throughout my whole entire running career, and just knowing that, you know, this one race or workout does not define who I am.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's a good mindset to have, because it makes you, like you said, everyone has bad days, but it makes the good days taste even sweeter. That's so corny, but it is really true.
It's so true, though. Yeah. So true.
Kind of speaking on goals, I feel like when I was your age, like I feel like I relate a lot to you just in the fact that we were both brought up running and like running competitively.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I was at your age, I felt like the world was my oyster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, I was just relishing in the moment, taking every race as they come. And I just feel like I had so many goals. So I'm really curious to know, you're going into your junior year of high school, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious to know, like, what are some things that you want to accomplish over the next few years with running, or even beyond the next few years?
Okay, so yeah, I have a lot of goals. I think my main thing is just focusing on being like healthiest, happiest, strongest runner that I can be, but also focusing on longevity in the sport, because, you know, that's like, I feel like that's a topic that's not really talked about a lot, and you've started talking about that a lot, which I love, because that's something that, like, I feel like the past few years back of me, I did not focus on longevity at all, but my focus has really turned on longevity, and that's, like, my main goal right now throughout high school is just longevity, but still getting, you know, fast and doing my best and working as hard as I can, but also making sure I'm not overworking myself to the point of where, like, I'm going to burn myself out before I even get to college, because that is the last thing I want to do, because I do want to run after college and I have plans on running after college. I would love to run pro. My goal ever since I was little was to go to the Olympics. So that too.
Yes, of course. That's every person's dream. And that's a great goal to have. So kind of speaking on longevity, I know that you've been dealing with an injury. Can you talk a little bit more about what you're struggling with right now in terms of that, or like your mindset when you were diagnosed?
Yeah. So honestly, this kind of sounds crazy, but I'm kind of thankful in a way that it happened, because it really made me take a step back and just kind of rethink how I was doing things. And now that I'm a much wiser person than I was when I was training way too much and not taking my easy runs easy, I was definitely not feeling myself enough. And all of that adds up. And when it happened, well, a few weeks after, because my body lasted a few weeks, but that's about it. I started increasing my mileage more, because I've always been kind of a low mileage person. So I increased it about 10 miles. And I also went from 4 days a week of running to 6 days a week of running. And I think I did it way too fast. Well, not think, I know I did it way too fast. And I did not let my body adjust to the increase like I should have. And it added up. And I got a stress reaction. And I was out for, thankfully, just 3 weeks, that I wasn't a stress fracture. I stopped soon enough on it when I felt it, and my mom was immediately like, okay, we're taking you to the doctor, we're gonna make sure this isn't anything serious, just in case. And it was. I had to take 3 weeks off, and I just focused on doing strength training. I did biking, but I also just, like, honestly let my body recover other than, like, strength training, because, you know, I gotta do something to keep me sane while I was having to rest a ton. But yeah, it's definitely just changed my mindset to listening to my body and taking care of it like I was.
Yeah, I mean, everyone deals with injuries. I feel like everyone kind of pushes themselves to the point where, you know, maybe they get diagnosed with an injury and then they look back like, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. But like, you don't really know until you do it. You don't really know your limit until you push it.
Exactly.
But I think it does teach you a lot about, like, what your limits are, and it's definitely something that, like, you will overcome. I mean, you have to, it's all temporary. About patience. Yeah, it's very temporary. You will get through it. And I think this was your first stress injury, right?
Yeah, it was honestly, like, my first ever injury. I've really never been injured.
Yeah, so especially with it being a stress injury, like, you really did the right thing, and that was getting off of it immediately once you realized what it was. Because I know a lot of people, especially with their first injuries, like, they just kind of, I don't know, just say, I'm going to run through it.
Yeah.
And that's, like,
halfway through my workout, but I was like, all right, coach, I cannot do any more.
And like, not pushing it is really the key to recovering from the injury. Because so many people make the mistake of running through the injury and then just having it get worse. Or, like, I've seen countless of my teammates just, you know, run 3 days, then take off 3 days. Run 3 days, take off 3 days. Like, that's just not this is not the way to recover from injury. So I think, I don't know, it shows your maturity, I guess, in, like, dealing with injuries.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of self-restraint to pull yourself back, even though you don't want to, to, like, focus on getting healthier.
My mom had 2 stress fractures in, I don't even remember, it was, like, a big muscle in her leg, but I don't remember which one it was. And she didn't know she had 2 stress fractures. So she was she ran for the University of Central Florida. And so she would run, do pool workouts all week. And then once it came Saturday race day, she would race and she would do really, really well, like, be the one of the top on the team. So she wasn't running at all until the race day because it was hurting so bad. But she never went to the doctor. And then she finally went to the doctor and they're like, oh yeah, you got 2 stress fractures.
The amount of times I've seen that sounds so bad, but
so you terrible.
See, yeah, no, you see it a lot though, because people want to be able to compete, but it's just not healthy. And especially long term, like especially when you're dealing with a stress injury, like running on it is not gonna get any better if you continue to run on it. Like you have to take the full on break.
Yeah. It's unfortunate,
yeah, it just ends up getting worse if you don't do that. So
exactly.
You know, everyone learns in their own way. I'm no one to judge, but if I can give one piece of advice to the people listening, it's to once you feel that you're getting injured, take time off. It's better than running through it. From someone that's been injured a lot herself, especially growing in high school, take time off.
Definitely.
Yeah. You said that, like, you have dealt with a lot of comparison over the years.
Yes.
I can't even imagine what it's like right now being in high school, like, growing up with this amount of social media. Because for me, in high school, Instagram was just getting started. You know, I was getting 10 likes on a photo. I had, like, 100 followers.
Yeah.
And it was all my friends. It was all the people I knew. And people weren't posting their workouts. People weren't – you didn't have these so-called influencers or anything. So I can't even imagine what it's like. For, like, your generation, how do you think, like, social media affects you? And with you being, like, one of the people that people look towards, do you see it as a piece of motivation for you? Or is it something that, you know, stresses you out at times? Like, what are your thoughts on social media and running?
So there has been ups and downs, honestly, with social media. I mean, even just, like, a year and a half ago, I only had like half of the followers that I have now. So it's really like grown a lot. And I feel like where I am now is a lot better space for like being an influencer or whatever you want to call it. But I think really in the past, it affected me positively, definitely. Because I feel like so many people that I have became friends with on social media have helped me so much. Like, I have no idea where I would be without half of the people that I have met on social media and just their influence on me and being able to ask questions and things like that for people who have been through similar experiences that I have or as like competitive as I am in running and stuff. So it's a really good space for making friends and making connections and just on it, like lifelong friends. Like, they're people that I will know for the rest of my life. And that's really good to have, because sometimes when like you're just at school or just like in life in general, sometimes it's hard to find people that really, really connect with you and like on different levels that like, you know, people can't connect with you on. So that's so great about social media. And it's definitely helped me a lot with, you know, mental health and physical health or whatever. But, you know, it has definitely been a stressor at times, feeling sometimes like uninspired and feeling like you have to post. But I've gotten a lot better at that because I feel like I'm just always have thoughts in my head to be able to write posts and things like that. But definitely with the comparing thing, I'm definitely at a point now where I can see past like what others are doing and really focus on my path and like where I'm going in life and just knowing that everybody goes at their own pace. Like, I used to constantly compare my times, constantly compare what I looked like to other girls on social media, and that was extremely unhealthy. And as I've started to just kind of realize that like literally every single person is different. You don't have to be running the exact same times as someone is on that day, because, you know, they could be doing a hard run, you could be doing an easy run, or maybe they felt really bad on that and you felt really good. Like, there's just so much you don't know on social media, and I think that's what really affected me, because I didn't realize, like, you know, what I'm seeing isn't the whole story.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like, I don't know, once you grasp that, like, social media becomes a lot less daunting place. But it's also hard when you're going on it every day, you're seeing these people with so-called perfect lives or having these perfect workouts, whatever, listing their splits. Like, you don't see the other days. Who knows what they're doing? Like,
yeah, and you don't see, like, what other part of the day.
Exactly. Yeah, that either. And you don't see, you just don't see what their lifestyle is like. You don't see their bad workouts. Yeah. So I feel like once you realize that it's not the whole picture, I don't know, it just becomes a more enjoyable place.
Yeah, too. And I think as I've become more of an influencer too, like I've realized that because I notice, like, let's say I take a picture, I'm like, oh no, that picture doesn't look good, let me post the good one. I'm like, wait, other influencers are doing this too, the ones I'm comparing myself, my bad photo to, like, it just, it's a cycle. It's a
exactly.
Business cycle.
And it is weird to be on the other side, like realizing that, like, whatever you're doing, posting on social media, other people are probably doing the exact same thing, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, so that's just, it's just weird to even think about that. So I don't know.
Weird.
How have you been dealing, this is completely a different subject, but
okay.
How have you been dealing with, like, all the cancellations due to the coronavirus? Because I know that hit a lot of people hard if you're, like, in the middle of your track season, all of a sudden everything gets canceled. People put in months and months and years of training for the season, so how have you been dealing with it?
Well, I had a solid two track meets. So, you know, it was great. The two I had were great. They were good. So, you know, I got those two. So I technically had a 2020 season, you know, I'll count it. But honestly, I'm, again, so thankful that it happened in a way, like, for my body just to kind of be able to rest and take this time because I have plans to run my whole entire life. So I changed my mindset from really upset, disappointed, and just like overall, like, what am I going to do with myself? Because I'm always running, I'm always training. What am I going to be going for? So I changed my, like, my mindset just to, okay, Ember, you're going to get strong. You're going to get ready for this next season. You're going to be mentally so much better in a place now that you're going to have this time off and just kind of like focus on yourself. I focused on fueling myself properly, which I've struggled with a lot in the past, and, you know, just getting stronger and focusing on my goals of the future and longevity instead of just right then in the moment, which I used to always do.
Yeah, exactly. And have you gotten any updates about what the cross country season is going to look like for you?
We're allowed to start training as a team together in July. Like, according to our, I don't know what it's called, public school systems or something. Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting. I'm really curious to see how everything pans out.
I don't even know how our school year is going to be either. It's going to be strange. And
yeah, exactly. Like, I know a lot of, at least the universities aren't even going back to campus. So I don't know how that's going to affect the high school.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it'll all trickle down and it'll all be the same.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had us do, like, online school more.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like that will definitely be happening, especially with all the spikes going on right now.
Yeah, because I live in Florida, too, so.
Yeah.
It's quite a hot spot, so.
Yeah, it definitely is. How is living in Florida? I've never been there, and I'm curious to know, like, the only things I see is, like, the crazy side of Florida on the internet.
Apparently people think Florida is crazy. Like, from what I've heard, everybody I've talked to is like, yeah, Florida's crazy. I'm like, okay. But I mean, it honestly is though, but I'm just so used to living here. I absolutely love Florida so much. I've been all over, like, the country and, other places too. But, Florida is just, it's hot. Like, it's really hot and humid. As you probably already know, I practice at 3 p.m. and the feel like temperature is like 106, you know, like it's really hot, but it's not, it's so bad. It's not, and it's not like a California dry heat. It's humid. There's been multiple practices where like, I'm just like, I have to stop. Like, I literally feel like I'm going to pass out because of how hot it is. So the tan lines are really bad in Florida because, you know,
yeah.
It's terrible. It's so hot. But I love it because I only live like 30 minutes from the beach, and it's super nice because I could just like go to the beach whenever I want. And then, but it's hot. It's hot. It's really hot.
Yeah. That's basically what I can take away from your post is that you like to go to the beach and
yes.
it gets really hot there.
In the woods here, there's always creatures everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I saw that your dog was, like, chasing alligators or something. See, this is, like, such a thing that only happens in Florida. Like, this does not happen anywhere else.
Yeah, like, he's caught in water moccasins. He, oh my gosh, he's crazy. He's been gone for like 30 minutes chasing animals, and he just eventually comes back. And I'm like in the middle of the woods, like, just, you know, by myself near a river off the trails. Like, I mean, I kind of just do crazy stuff. But, yeah, you know, Scoop is usually there with me until he leaves for like 30 minutes. So,
I see. What is the running culture like in Florida? Like, do a lot of people run?
Oh, yeah.
Or is your team big? I don't know anything really about that side of the country.
Dude, running here is huge. Like, it's really big because we have so many races here, and like thousands and thousands of people come to them, like even just 5Ks, because we have Track Shack, like I was saying, and that's like a really big running thingy-bopper, I guess. I don't really know what it is, but yeah, it's like it's a store, but then they also have like teams, and then they do races. We literally have a race like every single month of the year, and it's like a whole series. And for high school running, yeah, like, our teams are really big, especially, like, track and field. Like, our track and field team, oh, my goodness, it's huge. And even cross country, we have a lot of girls and guys, obviously. Yeah, it's a really big team.
Nice. Well, that must be fun,
having a big team. We're all really into it, too, like, because I know some teams will only have, like, two people or like a few people, and that, like, I could never imagine that would suck so much. It's like, I talk to my team all the time, we're like, okay, make sure we're training, make sure we're doing this, make sure we're meeting up. Like, I'll go and do long runs with the guys and stuff. It's like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't imagine like being a high schooler and not having a team to train with, because that's basically what kept me going every day.
Yes.
Is having my team. So I really give props to the people that can train without one, because that's a whole new level of mental toughness.
Yes. Literally just, you know, pushing yourself.
Yeah.
And
like all the bonds that you form with your friends in high school, it's something never like experience again, even in college. Like, the bonds you make in high school are a lot different, I think. So yeah. I hope that you're cherishing these moments, especially during this crazy time. Just like, I don't know, living it up with your teammates. Obviously not at the moment, but, you know, looking back on all the good old memories during the quarantine.
The great memories, you know.
Yeah. So what do you do for fun outside of running? What's your little escape from the running world?
Yeah, so I obviously like working out and getting swole, but, you know, that has to do with fitness. But outside of that, I love hiking, like I was saying earlier. My whole family, we're just really active. We're always just, you know, on the go. So me and Scooby, we like to go on adventures in the woods. When my foot is better, I'll be doing a lot more of that. Like, right now, I can't really do all the crazy stuff that I'm usually doing.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to when I can do that again. And obviously the beach and just like hanging out with friends, cooking, obviously. I'm like kind of foodie, kind of not, because I'm still not the best at making my food look pretty, but I'm working on it.
I would say you're pretty good at it. I mean, I think your food looks appetizing, so.
Yeah, I'm like a C or a B, like, compared to you and like a lot of the other people.
No, you're definitely up there. Don't you have a food page too?
Yeah, but I stopped doing it because it was too much work.
I completely understand. I feel like people like don't really realize how much work it actually is.
It's a lot of work, because I would rather just like make the food and then just eat it, or like take a really fast picture and then just eat it, instead of like having to like make it look really pretty.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. And I mean, you're already doing so much work on your other social media platforms, so. It makes sense for you not wanting to add another one, especially when you're like, I don't know, full-time training and in school and stuff. So
yes, it's definitely hard, especially since I've started working out a lot more too. It just, you know, I don't really have that extra energy to spend on that.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of working out, how is getting swole? I know that's something that you started implementing.
Yes, getting swole, honestly, like, I'm not gonna lie, I love working out just as much as I love running, like, maybe just slightly less, because, you know, running is the main thing, but I literally love working out so much. I don't know what it is, it's literally so much fun. I feel like if I could never run again, I would just do the gym, like, all the time. Maybe a swim or two, but I would work out a lot. Finally, yeah, getting my bench press up too. I don't know. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that makes sense. So is your bench press the favorite lift in the gym?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It's so funny because, like, I'll be there with my dad or whatever, and, you know, he's, like, muscle man. So it's so funny because there's, like, you know, big Hulk guys all around me, and I'm, like, there on the bench press doing my bench, and all of them are looking at me, and my dad's like, yeah, Amber, that's a new PR. And then everybody looks at me, and they're like, yeah, you get it. Like, go, Amber. Like, it's just so much fun because everybody, like, knows me in the gym. It's the best.
That is, I don't think I've ever heard of a distance runner saying the bench press is their favorite lift. I've literally never heard of that in my life.
It's so much fun.
That's nice, though, that you have your dad to help you out, because I feel like for runners, like, getting into the gym can be so intimidating. Even for me now, like, I've been lifting, I mean, not consistently since I left college, but, like, even in college, like, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And the best person I could go to was YouTube, so. But it's nice to have your dad to help you.
He has helped me so much, like, through just, like, everything. And he's also, like, helped me, like, realize that, like, running is not my identity. He tells me that all the time. He's like, okay, Amber, yeah, but running is not your identity. Like, you're much more than that. He always has to remind me that. I'm like, yes, but Dad, I have a lot of goals, okay?
Yeah. It is, though, like, good to be reminded that it's not always. Because I know people can get wrapped up into it. I know, like, in the past, I definitely have, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be hard to, like, when you're dedicating your whole life to your sport, it can be hard to find any time to find interest in anything else.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Yeah, I think it's good to have, like, a parent continuously remind you of that or just, like, kind of push you out of your comfort zone.
Yes, and I need that a lot because I definitely still get wrapped up a lot. I'm like, nope, just I'm training. No, I need to rest, guys. I can't do that. I do that a lot. Trying to not do that as much anymore.
Why did you start getting in the gym? Just to kind of, like, branch out, or because you got injured? Like, what was the cause?
So, obviously, if you follow my Instagram, you know I've struggled with an eating disorder in the past, and I've struggled a lot with fueling. And so, I've always been told I was very thin and, like, skinny, and I was just sick of being told I was kind of, like, weak. So, I think my main motivation was just, like, okay, well, I want to get stronger, and I want to be strong. I don't want to be, like, weak anymore, if that makes sense. And I just wanted to be stronger for running and be able to just have more speed, you know, be faster in the mile and just, like, stuff like that. I just wanted to be strong.
Yeah. I mean, that completely makes sense. And I feel like a lot of people, I mean, I'm sure, you know, like, a lot of people just think that skinny is better for running because it's, I don't know, that's just a misconception that.
Stereotype.
Yeah, it's just a stereotype. Like, you look at people and they're like, oh, they're skinny. They must, like, I don't know. The skinnier you are, the better you are running. But that is not true at all. It's really about, like, how strong you are. And I'm not saying, like, everyone needs to go lift and, like, do all these crazy things. But I think people underestimate, like, fueling your body correctly. And, like, putting on muscle isn't necessary. It's not necessarily a bad thing, so.
I was going to say, nobody, like, gets anywhere from under-fueling. You're going to get places from taking care of your body, fueling yourself, and working hard, not, you know, neglecting your body. And I think that took me a long time to realize.
Exactly. Like, restricting yourself, like you said, is not going to get you anywhere. It's going to get you injured is what it is going to.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, just kind of realizing that food really is fuel. Like, you are repairing your muscles with the things that you put into your body.
Yes.
And kind of, like, realizing that, I feel like, has a really big impact, not only on, like, the amount you eat, but on what you eat, because you really are what you eat. And I think, especially for me in college, like, that's something I realized just by making my diet a little more healthy, is I, like, realized that this food, like, this sweet potato is refueling my muscles, as opposed to, like,
so good.
Yeah, exactly. And the more, like, healthy that you eat, the better the food tastes.
Yeah,
I've definitely
realized that too.
Yeah, so if you, like, find yourself struggling to eat healthier, just kind of, like, find the healthy foods that you do like and try to replace those into your diet as opposed to like, I don't know, a bunch of processed foods.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be perfect. It's not like you have to cut like everything out of your diet. Just kind of making like substitutions for the foods that you like.
Yeah. And balanced as in everything in life.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about balance. Yeah. I don't know, kind of like bouncing off of that. What have been your biggest lows in running and what has been your biggest high in running?
Biggest low, I'll start with biggest high. My we'll start with positive first. So my biggest high would probably be my freshman year in track season. We could do physical side and we could do mental side. My best physical side, like running wise, I would say my freshman year, I did a 10:43 in the 3200. I always get 3200 and 2 mile mixed up. 3200.
Basically the same thing.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty close. At state, I got third place as a freshman. So that was really exciting for me. And that was another moment where I was like, wow, okay, like I can be good, you know?
Yeah.
And then I later went on that year to the Junior Olympics in California, and I did the 3,000 meter. So weird. They should just, like, have it all the same. It's kind of annoying.
Honestly, I know. I feel like it'll change in the future, but for now, we're stuck in our ways.
Stuck with the weird stuff. But I did a 10:12, and I also came in third place, and I got an All-American title, and... and backtracking to eighth grade, I also went to the Junior Olympics, and it was kind of like one of my breakthrough races again. I did the 1500 meter, and I got like a 4:46. I was like 13, I want to say, and I got seventh place, and I made it to finals. I was literally so excited because the year before I did not make it to finals, so the next year I made it to finals, and I ended up medaling and All-American status again. So it was really exciting. And then this year for freshman cross country season, like high school cross country season at state, I came in. This was a really big race for me because the year before I had really struggled with fueling my body, like I had said, and I did extremely bad at the race. And there was a lot leading up to that. It was like my bad. It wasn't like bad, but it was like, for me, it was bad. So the next time I did it, I cut off like 2 minutes off my time and ran a 17:56 for my sophomore season, of cross country. And I came in fourth place first lower class in. I was like, wait, words? I would say those are like my main things that I have. Like my main highs. Yeah. But and then mentally, I would say right now I'm at definitely a high mentally because I'm at the best physical and just mental state overall I've ever, you know, been in. And my
That's
low.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. We could say quarantine definitely changed me as a person.
That's good. That's good. I love to hear that because I don't know. It's always good to like feel like you're in a high place. So
definitely. My lows, there's been a lot of lows, but you know, the low places are what make you get to your high places. So it's okay. But I would say my biggest low is definitely my freshman cross country season. I was running, fast. I got like, I broke seven, not broke 17. That would be crazy.
Not yet.
I broke 18 in the 5K within like my first few races. But, you know, after that race, I definitely just neglected my body probably the most I ever have. And I could say I regret that, but I don't because it has taught me so much and it has taught me how important it is to like feel my body and take care of my body and just listen to myself. At one point I was literally running as low as like 15 miles a week because my body couldn't keep up with, you know, the mileage. So I would say that was definitely my like low was freshman cross country season. And, after I had my great race, after like regionals, it just kind of went down from there. Like I went to Foot Locker, but it just, my body was, could not keep up with me any longer. So it was definitely just like, all right, Amber, I'm out, I'm done. And then after that, I really focused on just, you know, getting better.
Yeah, what was kind of the turning point? Like what made you decide that like, okay, something needs to change?
Yeah, well, I always kind of knew like something wasn't right, but I kind of just ignored it, even though literally every single person, and I think that was a really hard part for me on social media too, just because everybody notices things, everybody sees things, everybody comments things, they have their own opinions, and but they don't see the other side of things, and that's obviously a really hard part about social media.
Yeah.
And especially with all the opinions. But I think the real turning point was my freshman year when I literally was running and I'm like, I don't think I can keep running. Like I literally physically feel like I have to, like I'm just going to break down. And that's when I was like, okay, yeah, something needs to change. And it took a really long time and gradual ups and downs. And I think recently was just my biggest shift. I made a lot of new friends on social media that had been through the same things as me. And they kind of inspired me to like, you know, just go full force on it. And that's kind of just like, it just turned from there. I was like, you know what? Like, I would rather be strong than like weak and like fast and not just focusing on like what my body looks like and instead focusing on what like my body can do.
Definitely. And what are some like positive shifts that you've seen because that you changed your like lifestyle and the amount you're eating, what you're eating?
Yeah. So just a lot more energy, a lot more laughing, and a lot more just being myself. Like I'm just not stressed all the time. And I feel like I finally like matured in what I look like, because I feel like I've always kind of looked like really kiddish, and I look a lot less kiddish now, which is a good thing. And just overall, just so much stronger.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah. I feel like for girls, especially like high school is a big changing point in your body most of the time. Like
yes.
You go through a lot of physical changes. I've been very candid about mine on the internet. I've literally grew 8 inches and gained 50 pounds in high school. And the less you stress about it, the better it is. So, but it's awesome.
Help.
No, it doesn't. And trying to like, I don't know, trying to make it not happen doesn't help either. It doesn't work because your body is going to have to go through the changes anyways. So
it's going
to
happen. Eventually,
I don't know. Letting your body do it and taking care of it and having a positive mindset behind it and realizing that it's completely normal.
Yes.
Even into college too, like your body will change. Your body's just going to continue to change.
Yeah.
Ultimately at the end of the day, and the less you fight it, the better it is. So,
yep.
So kind of wrapping up this episode, I think it's been really insightful, especially for the younger listeners.
Yes.
Do you have like a mantra that you live by or a quote? I feel like you would be someone that has like a lot of quotes up their alley, you know?
Yeah. So one of my main things is to just be positive. And I know that sounds very just like simple and kind of dumb, but literally, I feel like that has gotten me through absolutely everything, is saying to be positive. And like every time something is going on and it seems terrible, bad, or just like nothing is ever going to go right again, I try and look for what like good can come out of that. And so when I say just be positive, that reminds me to just know that like whatever I'm in right in that moment is temporary, and that I can be the change to, you know, look at it in a positive light and to grow from the situation instead of dwelling on it or letting it bring me down, and instead let it build me up.
Awesome. Yep. I think a lot of people can take something from that and from this episode in general. So I appreciate you coming on and kind of sharing your story. And yeah, just giving us a little rundown about who you are, what you stand for. Where I'm sure people want to follow you after this episode. So where can they follow you?
They can follow me at Amber Runs on Instagram, and then YouTube, You could just click the link in my bio, because I think it's just Amber Scholes. Like, I really don't even know.
Yeah, whenever people ask me what my YouTube is, I'm like, my name? I don't know.
I mean, it's just like, you know, Amber Scholes.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
This is really random, but like, I have been thinking about it a lot, and so I was watching your fruit tire video, and you said bananas. You said something about their ripeness and that you don't like them when they're super yellow or like super ripe. And you like them when they're a little bit like more green. Like, you know, I wanted to ask you about this because I just think that is crazy. And I know people like them like that, but they just taste like paint. Like, they literally taste like paint.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, I like bananas in all forms. But for different purposes, And okay. I have very strong feelings about this, as in all of my tier list videos. So overripe bananas are only good for one thing, and that is for smoothies. Do not give me a banana with spots on it, like, to eat, because those are gross. They're so mushy. They're so mushy. Like, the peel doesn't even come off in one, like, little nice piece. It's so stringy and mushy and way too sweet, and then kind of mealy almost, but then they're really good in smoothies because they make it all sweet. But
I do agree with that.
Yes. Okay. But then if I was just to eat like a straight up banana,
yeah,
it needs to have like that little green on the top, because then it's like just a chewier consistency, a little bit of, it's more starchy, more filling, less mushy in the mouth.
It's like paste. Like, I still swear, sweet. It's like paste.
It's paste. Well, okay. I'm not eating green bananas from the store that you can't even peel. You have to like cut open. It's just a little bit of green on the top. Just sprinkle a little green in there and then it's perfect. Like, even I'll even, you know, munch on a banana that's all yellow but without any spots. But once the spots start coming, throw those bad boys in the freezer, because yuck.
Dude, they like with oatmeal, it's just like the softness, and then like the softness and like creaminess of the oatmeal. It just like, it mixes so well. And I know so many people are gonna disagree with me on this, but I'm really passionate about that, and about my hatred of almond butter. Like, it's really disgusting.
Okay, I saw that on your Instagram story. How can you hate almond butter? I'm so confused. What did you say? It tastes like iron or something? I was like, what?
Yes. Literally every single time I eat almond butter, I just like imagine myself eating like pennies. Like, it literally tastes like just like metal. It's like a metally taste. It's disgusting. Like, I just can't.
Do you like almonds?
No, I think they're disgusting. Like, with a passion, I don't like almonds. But like, I mean, almond flour and stuff tastes great, but I don't know, like, why?
Because almond flour doesn't even really taste like anything.
That's why I like it. Like, you can't tell you're eating almonds. But, like, I just don't understand why somebody would pick almond butter over, like, peanut butter. Like, unless you're, like, allergic. But, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I like almond butter. I think it tastes good. I think I like peanut butter better because it's just, like, a richer texture or richer flavor.
Yeah, it's just, like,
it's just more satisfying to me, especially in oatmeal. But I do, like, I don't really see the pennies point of view that you have on almond butter.
I've gotten, like, DMs saying, like, they agreed with me. So I know I'm not crazy. Just, you know.
Yeah, you're just a little crazy, but you know what? Everyone has their own ideas. Obviously, I'm crazy because just look at any of my tier list videos.
Yeah, everyone, we know that.
Yeah, everyone fights me on them. I'm like, sorry, I have amazing opinions, okay?
Yo.
Awesome. Well, thank you for asking me that question. We needed the clarification, of course.
We really did, because it's been bothering me for quite a while now.
Glad we got it addressed on the podcast.
Yes, I'm glad too.
All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. Can we get a good old peace out, fellas, from you?
Peace out, fellas! Get swole!
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. I had such a fun time talking to Amber. It's always good to get a new perspective with the younger generation, because life is so different than when I was in high school, so it was great to talk to her and hear her about her experiences, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot to me if you took the time to rate and review this podcast, because it helps me out a lot, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% Lean Angus Ground Beef Chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.